Is it recording?
Now it's recording.
Yay!
Go ahead.
This is the part where I stare blankly at the microphone. Try to remember what I'm supposed to be doing.
All right, let's start over.
Awkward pause.
I'm going to wrestle some papers.
Okay.
Now 1, 2, 3. Okay.
Hey, I'm KJ Delantonia, and this is Hashtag M Writing, the weekly podcast about writing all the things, short things, long things, pitches, proposals, fiction, nonfiction. This is the podcast about getting the work done. And this is the episode about setting the goals that help us to get the words. No, get the words on the page. Sure. Get the words. Get the words. Get the work done.
And I'm Jess Leahy. I'm the author of The Gift of Failure and The Addiction Inoculation. And you can find my work, my past work at the New York Times and Washington Post and The Atlantic.
And I'm Serena Bowen, the author of many contemporary novels. My next one is called The Last Guy on Earth, and it comes out in February.
And I'm Jenny Nash. I'm the founder and CEO of Author Accelerator, a company on a mission to lead the emerging book coaching industry.
I am KJ Delantonia, the author of 3 novels and 1 nonfiction book. My most recent book is Playing the Witch Card, and my most recent achievement is the landing of The Chicken Sisters on the Hallmark Channel. You can download it and watch it, and I don't know. It's also on Prime. It's easy. It's easy. Find it. It's super cute. So if we sound a little different today, it's because, excitingly, Jess and Serena and I are all in the same room. And Jenny sadly remains on the opposite coast. But, you know, someday, hashtag goals, which is what we're going to talk about today, we will all record together. And this is our annual episode in which we go over the goals we set last year, figure out whether or not we met them and how we felt about that, and set some goals for next year. We also usually have a word of the year and a reason that we're going to try to live our lives around that word. So that's what we're going to do. And I don't know, I feel like Jenny, Jenny, I feel like we should start with your last year's goals and how you did. Maybe because I think you probably did pretty well.
Oh, well, I'm really sad not to be in the room with you all. And if our listeners are wishing they could be in a room with you all, I'm right there with you. This is some powerhouse, amazing women that we all get to learn from and be connected to through this podcast, and I'm happy to be on the Zoom room anyway. I actually re-listened to our podcast last year where we did this and talked about our goals, and my word of the year was zone of genius. And to me, what that meant, and also it's not a word, it's a phrase, but to me what that meant was to do the work that only I could do, to really focus on what my particular genius is and my particular talents and bring that forth in my work, which also meant let all the other things go. So it was kind of a call to action, to focus and to really double down and commit to what I'm building. And I did some reflection the last few days on that word and that goal. At this time last year, I had a brand new baby granddaughter who's now just over a year old, which is just wild. And I turned 60 this year. So all those things were in my mind as I set that goal last year of wanting to think about the legacy that my work is going to leave. And so this was a year of all that, which was kind of big ideas. And yesterday I really sat down to reflect on how I feel that I did, and I'm really proud of myself. And I accomplished a lot of those things that I wanted to do, and I feel the way that I wanted to feel. And I've been trying to just say that a lot. I'm proud of myself because so often we don't stop and celebrate. You know, there's always the next thing and the next goal and what's next, and I'm absolutely do that. But yeah, I feel proud. Author Accelerator certified our 300th book coach this year, which is just incredible. We have people working all over the world helping writers in all different ways with all different kinds of books. And We just have a powerful community of people, and I'm just really proud of that. I also made some decisions, some business and financial decisions that were really scary and really risky. And there was a moment not so very long ago, maybe 3 months ago, where I felt that my business was really quite at risk. And I took some big chances to pull it out, off of the brink. And I've done that in a really big and impactful, amazing way. So yay me. So I'm just sitting here trying to be filled with gratitude and pride and congratulating myself and feeling that before I say the next thing, you know, what's the next goal? It's like, but wait, here I am. I did it. Yay me. So that's where I am.
We used to do two episodes, one in which we celebrated or not celebrated our goals of the last year and one for the goals of next year. But I just feel like now we have so much that we want to do in the coming year that I wanted to just roll it all in together. So I'm sorry to both make you, raise the bar on yourself at the same time.
No, it's
you celebrate your own achievements.
It's all good. Do you want to go next, KJ?
Sure. Okay. So my word of last year was unapologetic, which to me meant that I was going to try to be me and do me. I said, that's why I wrote that. This year I'm going to do me. It's not something I usually have a problem with, but I was just feeling like I was listening too much to other voices, wasn't saying what I really wanted in lots of contexts, both professionally. And I know that like my family would be like, you always just tell us what you want, but I don't feel that way. So I was feeling very surrounded by and sort of squashed by other people's goals. And I just wanted, and also I was feeling this tendency to hear the voices in my head just telling that I needed to behave differently to be around other people. So, and not do some things that I wanted to do. So that was my thought for last year. My goal for this year is very similar because I feel like I got really caught up last year in, I didn't really meet my goals for last year. I guess I arguably did. I did finish the book that I was working on. I finished it multiple times and it's just not there. And I am putting it aside and that may mean forever. It may mean I come back to it, but I just feel like it probably wasn't the right thing for me to writing at that moment. I didn't approach it with the right attitude. I don't know. For various reasons, that didn't work out. I didn't really do the other two things that are on my list, one of which I just want to kind of leave on my list. And yeah, but I did a pretty good job of, in my personal life, trying to, try to make sure that I did the things that I really wanted to do instead of just doing the things that sort of pop up to do. So I don't feel bad about last year, although when I look back at all the stickers that I earned on this project that at the moment is going nowhere, I still feel kind of lousy about it. I'm not going to lie. So that's where I am. Just is.
Yeah.
Serena is nodding with great empathy.
Yeah, same.
I'm happy to go next. Goal number one is to not let out a giant sneeze while KJ is talking. But so every year my goals have to do with how many books I want to write and, you know, often what new directions I want to take it. And I've been fairly successful in doing that. But I just did this deep dive to look at how many finished words I've written the last 3 years because Pacemaker lets you do that. And darn it, it's creeping up and not down, even though I keep saying I want to write fewer things and enjoy them more. So this year, I am really not going to write, next year rather, I'm not going to write more words than I did in 2024. That is not going to happen. The word I'm noodling with is something like,
no way, you're jumping ahead. You're supposed to be talking about last year.
Oh, well, I wrote all the words and my thriller is your word. Do you remember? No, she does not remember.
I'll try to drop it in the show notes so that we can know what her word was for last year.
Right. I think it was believe, and I don't think I did a very good job believing.
Okay. Because then late in 2024, when my thriller actually performed, I was stunned. Look, here, I had this multi-year project to switch gears a little bit and work in suspense, and then I did it, and it was published, and I was disappointed. And then that was stupid, because then the book ended up performing, and it's doing everything I ever needed it to. So, yeah.
Can I ask you a quick question about that book performance that has been, that I was curious about? So one of the things we know, what the book she's talking about is The Five-Year Lie, and it did well.
But, all right, wait, before you ask, what I want to frame this for the listeners, because I actually think this has been really exciting. The Five-Year Lie came out in
May 7th,
and it did not hit any lists, which was disappointing. It did not. It just came out, and it did fine, and it sat there doing fine. And it kept doing fine, and then it kept doing fine, and then it kept doing fine, and then all of a sudden,
it hit number one in the Audible store, which is a thing that I never would have predicted.
Like the whole Audible store. Forget that Habit book that everybody has to buy, and it's great Habit book. I mean, forget Sarah J. Maas, forget the Lady with the Maid books. I mean,
yep,
the whole store. It was number one, and it did kind of. That happened gradually. It wasn't like 1 week boom, but it also wasn't anything. Like it wasn't like,
you know, Obama put it on his list or something.
No, it was word of mouth and it happened. And I think we tend to believe that doesn't happen anymore, and it did. So anyway, I just want to frame that.
What's my question?
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. Yeah.
You think alike. The question for me, essentially what it came down to was, you know, looking back, Serena is a numbers person. And, you know, if I've tracked the impact that, you know, shout outs for a book or interviews or podcasts or whatever I have on a book. In fact, recently I got a really nice shout out again from Ryan Holiday. And I made sure when I first found out about it to look at rankings and all that sort of stuff so I could figure out if that was going to have an impact. And knowing what I know about Serena, she has looked to see if there's any cause and effect for this amazing success in audio. And I've been curious because I haven't heard you say, oh, yeah, I found this thing.
You know, I've been looking for the thing, and the audio really started to perform in June, but I didn't even notice it first. It just sort of sailed up into the top 100, and then it sat there for a while. And then it sat in bouncing around in the top 150 to 200 for 6 months, and then it went to number one. And I think each time that I had a really big spike, it might have been in an Audible email, but just an email to members, like just the picture of the cover. It wasn't like deal of the day that I know of. It wasn't, you know, in fact, on the day that it hit number one, it was full price. So yeah, it's been hard to figure out, and I'm sure that I will never know exactly.
Which is cool and reassuring in one way, because there are all these things that we try to control. And in the end, sometimes the things we just can't control, things that happen, whether it's with the word of mouth or the, you know, the celebrity, you know, shout out, that kind of thing. On the other hand, you know, it's also maddening in the sense that we would love to be able to recreate whatever magic happened. But the fact that we can't actually, from my perspective, takes a little bit of the onus on the author away a little bit.
It does. It does. And a slow burn success is the kind you actually do want, because then it has legs.
Yep.
So, I mean, I feel very grateful, and I didn't do an amazing job of being all relaxed. Like, my gratitude did not pour forth in equal, you know, cups every single day of 2024. I will just say that. So, yeah. Taking last year's lessons, I actually wrote 311,000 publishable words last year. And, you know, that was more than I really intended. And for 2025, I want to write two books. One of them will be a romance. One of them will be suspense. And last year I had the goal of writing two books and writing a proposal for another one. And I definitely met that goal easily. And, but then I kept writing extra stuff. Like I wrote a novella and it took a long time, and just extra stuff that maybe I didn't need to do. So unless something is just so outrageously fun that I cannot fight it off, I will
stick to my lower word count goal of the year. I will work on writing remotely, meaning like I will get better at practicing the art of writing while I travel, and writing in other places so that I can go other places. And I'm just going to enjoy it a lot more, which is why I'm noodling with the word presence for 2025.
I like it. The thing that's been helpful for me for writing when I travel is having a playlist of music that I turn on that is at least a common thread of, you know, it turns my brain into writing mode. So that's been, you know, when I'm not at my desk, when everything else is unfamiliar, at least I have my writing playlist. So that helps.
Yeah, I wish I could listen to music and write, but I have tried to add a little technology to my life, like some headphones that not only, it's not just the blocking of sound, but they can become a work cue.
Yeah.
Just the way my sleep mask is a go-to-sleep cue.
Yep. I have two places I work in my office. One is the marketing, sort of sending out book space, and one is the sitting down and being serious about the writing space, and my brain knows the difference between the two. Anyway, so my goals for last year, my word for last year was recreate and recreate, and it was sort of trying to figure out how the process of creation works best for me, and actually, in terms of figuring that out, it's been... I achieved a lot this year in terms of what KJ talked about, which, you know, we talk a lot about the fact that the work is never really lost. The work is practice, or the work is process, or the work is figuring out whether or not a process even works, or a project really works in the first place. And all this year, I've been working on the same book proposal for the same book that has changed so many times. And I think part of it has to do with, it's an interesting observation. My agent and I have been going back and forth and back and forth on this newest book proposal. And she keeps having me hone and hone and hone and change. And I said to her, we're doing more very specific work on this book proposal than I did for my first two book proposals. And she was just saying, as the market evolves and as what people are looking for evolves, they're looking for new. They're looking for people who can say things in a new way and people who can argue things in a new way and advice that's new, as opposed to the same sort of thing we covered in a new book cover. So it's been a really good process for me to figure out how what I'm trying to write is different from what else is out there, which is why I did that episode a while back on comps, because my comps have had to get different and specific. So I think, you know, that was good. But in terms of like my other goals, I didn't get the book proposal finished, mainly because it's been a process. It's been a process of figuring out what this thing is that I'm trying to work on. And I did not, sadly, Serena, write more newsletters, although it is going in my list for this year. I know Serena has like all the best reasons why I need to get in touch with my the people who have subscribed to me more often. And, you know, we can talk about that in another episode. And I know how important it is, and I'm going to do it. It's on my list for this year. And the videos, I'm very, very proud of. I did do, over 250 substance use prevention videos. And this has been over the past 2 years.
That is so many.
And so over 160 gift of failure videos. And yeah, I'm really proud of that work. Not only because I did it, but because it gives me so much content to redirect people to when they have a question. Like, I've answered all the questions that I can think of anyway. So that was really good. So I'm really proud of myself for that. But did the words happen the way I was expecting they would? No, they did not. But I will address that in my 2025 section. And with that, I'm going to pass off to Jenny. Jenny, do you want to start your 2025 stuff?
Sure. So the word that I came up with for myself, I'm so delighted with my word, is going to be Teflon.
Ooh, good word.
So Teflon, I want to let things roll off me more, particularly the haters who are going to hate. I feel there's just an increase out there in, I don't know what in our industry and publishing in general, you know, there's worry about AI. There's actual threats from AI. There's just sort of haters about the whole industry. Like, nobody makes money at writing anymore. Nobody reads books anymore. Just like all this kind of, I don't know, skepticism, and particularly in the work that I'm doing, you know, book coaching is a scam. It's a pyramid scheme. You know, just all this, it's just the zeitgeist, or at least what I see or feel or my antenna take in. And I don't want to live in response to those things, or I want to live outside of them. And so Teflon, just let it roll off me more. And I'm also trying to be more of, I guess I would say, a grown up around marketing, by which I mean I'm investing time and effort and energy and money in marketing the things that I've made. And to do that, I joined a business mastermind that's a year long business mastermind. It was quite an investment of all the things, and that's to hold me accountable and to put me in a room with other people who are also letting things roll off of them and taking things seriously and being more grown up about those things. And that feels really, really good. I'm raising the prices of my program a lot. And so that I want to stand strong in that and let the criticism of that roll off of me. I have not wanted to believe this for a long time, but I do in fact believe that there are a lot of people that don't actually want women business owners to succeed. there's a lot of people just don't like it. And I actually, the bulk of the people in my book coach community are women. And one of the things I'm trying to do is to model the fact that people can make money and they can make good money and it's okay to make money. And that this idea of well, just all the ideas around why that might not be acceptable or whatever, I'm going to be Teflon and stand strong in my decision and my business knowledge and my leadership and let the things roll off me more. And that word Teflon and that idea of letting things roll off will also really apply in my personal life for sure. My expanding family is more complicated, and my aging parents are complicated, or parent is complicated. There's just a lot of complications, and I often take things too personally, take them in too much, and Teflon, I think, will be really a good thing to call upon in some personal moments too, and not not take everything so darn seriously, I guess, is my goal. And the last goal is 2025 will be the first year in 3 years that I have not been writing curriculum. I've been developing, my courses are year-long courses. It's a lot of curriculum that I write and produce, more than 120 videos for each of the three classes, all the written work. So all of a sudden I don't have that in 2025, and I have an idea for a book I want to write. And Jess, I loved your words. It has to be new and different and something only I can do. And I started a lot of my projects like this start with like a big giant artist notebook, a big paper pad where I noodle around with Sharpies. And I started piece of paper with this idea. So I'm very excited about that. I don't think I'm going to state the goal as anything about that. I'm not going to finish a proposal or finish a book or anything. I want to get the idea pinned down, and I think it's going to take some time, and I want to take the time for that. So that's a goal.
I like that.
That's me.
That's great. Wow. I also am now dying to get a very big sheet of paper. It's like a big whiteboard or something. I love doing that. That's so much fun for me.
I love the giant pad of paper. Somebody actually gave it to me as a gift. It was Nancy Sheed, who's a book marketing PR person. And it just appeared at my house this one day. And I was like, this is amazing. It's like that thick artist paper. And it's just fun to put post-its on it and noodle, and you can rip it out, and it's giant. And I love it. It's really great. So Teflon, y'all, that's my word.
I love that. I want to say so much. I think it's so cool how our goals always kind of, you know, make each other think of things. And like, especially when you were talking about the personal life, like one of the things I've been working on so hard the second half of this year is just to not be responsible for the way the experiences of others, like not, you know, not sit there and not feel like, well, you know, I know this person and my life is going to be late and I need to like manage the other people's expectations or no, your experience of the other people and that's all you, the other person's on you. Your experience of them is on you. I don't need to be responsible for that. And I think, and then I just can't resist joining in with you, what you said about women business owners and stuff like that. So my biggest success this year was that The Chicken Sisters was on, has become a TV show on Hallmark. It's fantastic. I love it. It has been stunning to me, the number of people, and especially men, who want to ask me if I feel bad about the fact that it's on Hallmark. No, I really don't. And at Thanksgiving, a truly beloved family member, I mean, could not have been more mean and small-spirited about the Hallmark Channel if he had, like, spent an hour preparing a script. It was stunning. And I just literally sat there, and his sister laid into him, and I just looked at him. And this, you know, is somebody I know. Really, and I was like, I just can't believe you said that to me. And we all kind of tried to laugh, and that was the end of it. But you'd be amazed. And women, too, will be like,
oh,
well,
for sure.
Do you feel a little bad about, because, you know, that's only women watch. I mean, no, I do not feel bad. I am thrilled. A wonderful job has been done with this. I am so fortunate. It's really frustrating to me how much time I have to spend answering that question.
KJ, I mean, I don't have that kind of extremely tangible example, but it just feels like a rising tide of that kind of behavior, and I recognize it everywhere. I see it everywhere, and I have a couple of people who are really good at pointing out, saying, you know, that wouldn't happen to a man. You know, that wouldn't happen if you were doing this over here. And you start recognizing that, and
it's like they suddenly think it's okay again.
Yeah.
And here we are. I mean, I was at a dinner last night where all the new members of a particular corporation stood up. There must have been 9 of them. They were all men. All of them. Every last one. And my little mind boggled. But, you know, it wasn't my corporation. It's just the thing that I was part of. And I did point it out.
Well, I hope that you, because this is where the Teflon comes from, I hope that you take that as fire to keep doing the work you're doing and keep marketing the work that you're doing, keep talking about that achievement that you got to enjoy and that's going to continue. And, you know, I know sometimes we want to sit and not say anything because it's just easier, but I hope your work, you get fired up to let your work stand and speak against that, because man, that makes me mad.
It makes me mad too, but also my work doesn't have to speak against that. I'm not taking that load on. I'm just sorry.
No, I don't mean specifically.
I didn't mean, but none of us, you know, we are also allowed to do the work that we do that does the things that we do. It doesn't have to be anything, which brings me to, so my word for this year is going to be a phrase, I think. It's inner compass. So I do think I got unapologetic last year. I'm pretty ruthless about Colin. I mean, I sure didn't feel apologetic with respect to that family member and the panegyric against Hallmark. I guess a panegyric is not that. But anyway, the rant, I don't know, whatever the heck he thought he was doing. So I think actually, as I think back of it, I was unapologetic, but I was not following my inner compass with respect to my work. Or if I was, it wasn't steering me exactly right. Right. And I need to trust myself. I just need to start tuning out other voices. I've already separated myself from a variety of social media and am approaching it in a very, very different way. So that's going to be my set of words. And my goals, I'm going to do the blueprint along with anyone else who wants to join in for a blueprint challenge, which we're going to start in January. It's going to start on January 5th or 6th, vaguely. Sort of, we'll send out the first email. That's going to be the first week. I will tell y'all all about it at the end of this episode, but I'm going to blueprint along. So I'm super excited about that. That's one of my goals. I've got a couple of others. I'd like to finish drafting a bigger project. I'd like to finish either a novella or a short story, and I actually have ideas around both of those. I'm going to try working on more things at once and not digging in so hard. And I think my goal for myself, which goes along with that word or those words, is I'm going to try to trust that I will do the work even if I did not create a rigid plan of how many words and exactly what I'm going to do when. I don't not work. Like, I don't need quite the same goals that I used to set for myself in the same, quite the same way. I just want to say, too, this is the eighth time that Jess and I, at least, have done this particular.
Is it really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. And we had, and we will link to it in the show notes, we had a little goal-setting workbook. And we had these things that we would say to ourselves and to y'all, which were, some goals are outer goals, which only another person can achieve. So if you can't set a goal of publish a book or get a publisher. You can set a goal of publishing a book independently, but you can't set a goal of selling a book to a publisher. You can't set a goal of get an agent. I mean, you can set those goals, but you need internal markings for how you're going to do the work that would help you achieve those goals. And I don't know, I feel less need to follow that grid that we set. I think it's time to own that what Jenny said at the beginning of this episode is true. We are kind of a powerhouse sitting here. We do the work. We've come so far, Jess.
Why?
God, sure you look back at us in 2017.
I do look at us in 2017 all the time because I have a picture that comes up on my little aura frame that's in my kitchen of us in the Eve space of my kid's room. And yeah, it's been,
neither of us had published a single. Well, I had published a book with my co-author, Susan Straub, in 2006. But yeah. Wow. So kudos on us.
Yeah.
And I am going to try to also enjoy being where I am and slapping down some people who do not want to acknowledge that.
Cousin Stigma.
All right. Serena's turn.
Well, I already shared my word and my goals for next year, but just around the idea that there's a lot of freewheeling negativity and strain in the marketplace for writers. I also feel like we're entering our next era of the grolligarchy has won and the monopolists are going to be allowed to do whatever they want. And it's hard not to get depressed about that. So my final goal for 2025 is, and I've already been working on it this month, is just to do more of the advocacy work that I do for the Authors Guild. And I spent several days of the last couple weeks on Authors Guild advocacy in ways that people will never be able to see and understand unless I sit down across from you and describe it. But they matter very much, even if there's nobody who's ever going to say thank you for it, which is fine. Like, this stuff is super nerdy and it has to do with contracts that authors sign every day. But it's still important to me and it's my way of fighting back. So that's that's my final ad for 2025.
Thank you for doing that on our behalf, because you're in a unique position to be able to do that. And it's awesome. So thank you.
Yeah, I think as a member of the Authors Guild, I think I vaguely understood why I was supporting the Authors Guild, but I have become very aware on a very, with a lot of details, thanks to Serena, of why it's so important to have the Authors Guild in the world. So thank you also for that. Actually, that's really funny, because hearing the goals, the other people's goals, makes me remember I have this other thing. So my goal, for my word for this year is growth. And my word is growth for a couple of reasons, because I think I have a tendency to look a lot from my own viewpoint, and I'm trying very, very hard to look from other people's viewpoints. I have a project that I'm not really ready to talk about yet that's going to require me to do a lot of that. And so that's going to be, it's, you know, I'm in my little hidey hole in Vermont, and it's really easy for me to sort of have my headspace be fully in there. The other reason that growth is on my list is that something I've wanted to do for, a decade is finally happening. I'm signed up for a Master Gardener Extension course. I'm getting my certification this year, so it starts in January, and I have to take tests, and I have to take quizzes, and I have to do 40 hours of volunteer work and a whole bunch of stuff. So I hopefully will have that certification. And I have to give shout out. Gazina brought Bullock Prado. She did this last year. If you don't follow her, she's the wonderful baker on, she's written a bunch of books. She's on the Today Show all the time, baking wonderful things. And she's another Vermont writer. And she did it last year, and she clarified how the course works, and I'm like, I'm fully in. So I'm already Red Esther.
The part about this is that there will be checklists. Goal, I mean, I didn't set any like tangible goals, but man, I love a tangible goal. Yeah. So, yeah.
I have a textbook.
What tests?
I have a textbook.
Love those.
I have a textbook that's a doorstop, and we start with botany. And I was saying to Tim the other night, I'm like, look at this. We're gonna talk about like pests, and we're gonna talk about like diseases, and I'm all excited. This is something I've wanted to do for a very long time. So I've got to devote a fair amount of time to that in the first and second quarter of this year, actually. And then I have, let's see, what else? So I need to finish working on this proposal, but I also need to figure out whether or not this proposal is right for me. And for various reasons that I sort of can't talk about right now, I've wrestled a lot with this proposal and what it's going to be and what it is and what it isn't and all that other stuff. And so, but that's okay, because I know what I'm doing with the, you know, at least half of my time for the first part of this year, and working on that proposal is part of it. And we'll see. We'll see. I'm open. I'm letting myself be open to more growth opportunities, so to speak. And that's one of them. The other reason that the word growth is important to me this year is last year I said that I wanted to expand my speaking, and I did not mean in terms of money. I meant in terms of ears, like getting in more people's ears. And for those of you who've been playing along with the whole speaking stuff, it's really hard to get people to listen to the substance use prevention stuff because it freaks them out. They don't want to, you know, there's a lot of shame and guilt and weirdness. And so I've come up with lots of ways to make it easier for people to show up, whether that's through videos and learning about this stuff privately, whether that's because I couch it in other information. And it's working really well. And I'm getting a lot of thank you notes around, yes, you're right, I don't know that I would have gone to a straight up substance use prevention program, but I'm so glad you did it the way you did it, within the sort of learning and motivation and parenting stuff, so that I could come and hear that stuff. And I wouldn't have done so otherwise. And so my goal for this year is to expand my numbers again. Thanks to Serena, I've been keeping a very detailed spreadsheet. I don't know that I would keep as many spreadsheets as I do without you.
My gift to the world.
I know.
Spreadsheets.
And speaking of which, actually, I solved a little problem for myself again because of Serena. Many times you have heard me say on this podcast that the one place where I do not keep good records is about how many people I send books to. Like, I know how much I've spent in postage, and I generally know how many books I've sent out, but I sometimes don't know who I've sent them out to and who I haven't.
But Serena helped me get set up with one of those home postal service kind of things. And it archives all the people you've sent stuff to. And so suddenly now I have not just the people's names, but their addresses. And because I'm sending them to work addresses, it also includes, for example, the organization or the school name. So all of a sudden I have a built-in system for record keeping that I didn't have a week ago. So again, thanks to Serena for being the numbers person and our, you know, I'm so grateful to you for all of that, because between the newsletters, which are also, speaking of growth, the newsletters are on my list again this year. Keeping records has been really good for me not just because I find out, you know, there are numbers to be proud of, and that's been great. Like, I know exactly how much money I've made from speaking since day one of my speaking career, or I know generally within plus minus 5% how many people I've spoken to because I've been keeping track of the audience numbers. But knowing in a real way what's making an impact and what's not is helping me think more the way you do, which is like, okay, this sounds like a great idea, but is there going to be a good return on this investment for you? And that's not naturally how I think. So you've been really, I'm very grateful for you.
Well, thank you. And, you know, life is messy. The things we do aren't always associated with deep analytics, and we have to find our own signposts sometimes and make them work.
Yep. Especially since some of the numbers that, it's funny because we were talking about book numbers recently, and I was thinking about, because of that Ryan Holiday shout out, I wanted to know if that had any impact on book sales. And unless you're someone who has access to like the book scan numbers, or there's just not a great way to get all of that information all in one place. Like, what if people are getting the audio or the Kindle or whatever, the ebook version? Or what if they're buying directly from the publisher? You know, all of these kind of numbers are difficult to track. So I will just track what the heck I can track on my own and feel something resembling a sense of control.
Yeah.
So one of our goals for the podcast for a long time has been to find a better way to talk to y'all. Not just, you know, one-sided or four-sided talk like this one, but back and forth. Because we would love to hear what your goals are, what your words are, what you think of what you did last year, you know, how you feel about the Brolegarchy. Maybe not that. That we could all go on for that for ages. So I think, you know, we had the Facebook group. It's still there. Not going to lie, we aren't Facebooking anymore very much. Don't know if you all are either. But I think the best thing to do is to head to amwritingpodcast.com. You end up on our site. And let's start with the comments of this particular post. I will play with setting up a chat there. It can be done. And we're just going to try to encourage us, you know, everybody to talk back and forth in this space, which is just ours. Can't, you know, doesn't get seen by anybody that's not following along. Isn't going to have trolls in it. Or, I mean, unless you've bothered to, like,
ask a clarifying question. Do you mean on Substack?
I do, but if you go to amwritingpodcast.com, you end up within our Substack.
Okay.
You don't need to be. And so if you are a person who's like, I don't know what Substack is, it doesn't matter. Okay. Because you go there, you click comment, it's going to take you, and you might make you sign up for something, but it's not anything. Like, it's not another social network, or it can be if you want it to be, but. My point is that it works for people who are using it a lot, and it works for people who aren't using it at all.
Okay,
though. So, yeah, I think that's where we're going to go. So start in the comments to this, and we'll see where that goes.
Well, and speaking of goals for the podcast, there are two things that have happened this year that I'm really grateful for. Number one, and I did not expect this, is the AMA days. So we have these Ask Me Anything days, and the questions have been so good. Like, they've led me to go do some research, independent research, to answer questions even better. That's, you know, that is that subscriber only, KJ? I believe that's subscriber only.
Yeah, most of the time.
And then the other thing is, I love doing the Book Lab First Pages episodes so very much. And so keep them coming, because number one, it's such a privilege to be able to read someone's first pages. And it is
so much fun, and it's made me think so hard about my own writing and how much heavy lifting each sentence does in my own writing. So I'm really grateful for those two things we've started doing this year.
Yeah, and we'll put a link.
Yep.
If you want to submit a first page to Book Labs, we cannot do them all, but we can do some, do as much as we can. Put a link to submit those in the show notes. You all heard, no matter whether you're a subscriber or a paid supporter or not, everybody heard an episode of Book Labs in December. You can go back in your podcast feed and find that. And then regular supporters get them more frequently. Vaguely once a month, but it's probably kind of ending up being more because we get a lot and we like doing them. So please, you know, join in, send us those. We're grateful for them. And finally, I don't know, Jenny, people have been hearing my voice for a while. Do you want to talk a little bit about the forthcoming blueprint, which starts as you're listening to this? If you're listening to this in real time, it's going to start fundamentally next week after, sort of depending on how you count your weeks.
Which is January 2025.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm delighted to talk about it. This will be the third time that we've done a blueprint challenge at the hashtag MWriting podcast. And the last two times there have been people that have gotten book deals who started their books in this blueprint process. This is not a guarantee, but it is just an incentive that I believe with my whole heart that bringing intention to what you're writing before you start to write can help you enormously with that writing.
Or bringing intention to the process of revising it. I mean, Jenny is always talking, it is ideal to do this on a new project, and I'm excited to do that. But you can come in with a project you've already written and use this process to sort out what you were trying to do, and it will make your revision faster and better. Maybe not, well, and easier because easier.
And the blueprint is a method I designed. It's a 14-step method of inquiry about the story. There's a nonfiction version, a fiction version, and a memoir version. And it plays well with every other thing that you might love, including Save the Cat and StoryGrid and Hero's Journey and the three-act structure and anything that you love. It plays well because it underlies all of those things. It's not story structure. It's not plot structure. It's story fundamentals. Story applying to all narrative, anything. So the challenge is we've condensed this into 10 weeks. There's a special podcast series that takes you through the blueprint, those 10 steps. And we have brought in some of our author accelerator coaches who are certified in the blueprint and how to coach it. And they are running special AMAs, special ride-alongs, special sessions. They are going to be offering support and cheerleading and inspiration while you do this writing, and you get to be in community with other hashtag MWriting listeners who are doing the same thing. It's super fun. KJ, are we offering the same incentive where one of us will read a finished blueprint?
Yes.
Yeah. So everybody who participates, we do a drawing at the end, and either KJ or I will review that blueprint and give you a coaching session on it. So that's a random drawing of everybody who participates. So we would love to have you join us. And the way you do that is by becoming a hashtag MWriting subscriber, which is a ridiculously low amount of money to
get a paid supporter. And we are, in fact, running a special because, you know, I think that there's that some sort of mandatory end of the year special situation that if you don't do it, someone comes and delivers electric shocks to you or something. No, until December 30th, you can get the annual paid supporter membership to hashtag MWriting for $75 instead of $100. I sure hope I didn't get those numbers wrong, but I'm pretty sure because I just set this up. So that stops, I'm sorry, December 31st. End of 2024, that's gone. Our prices are going up a tiny bit too, but kids, this is episode 420-something.
Nine-ish, something like that.
And we have paid our producer for every one of those episodes. We have paid our assistant ever since we have had an assistant, and we have paid ourselves fundamentally zero. Although, thank you so much for supporting the holiday lunch that we're about to have. So, we're trying to value our work and everybody's work as much as we can, and we really appreciate those of you that support this podcast, which we think you have come to love, and we do love doing.
All right. Yeah. Well, I think we need to wrap up because there's a holiday party that we are we're about to be late to.
And we just want to thank everyone so much again for being hashtag MWriting listeners, whether you're supporters or not. You mean a lot to us. And thank you so, so much for being here. And until next week, really, until, oh my gosh, by the time this airs next year, keep your butt in the chair and your head in the game.
The Hashtag AmWriting podcast is produced by Andrew Perella. Our intro music, aptly titled Unemployed Monday, was written and played by Max Cohen. Andrew and Max were paid for their time and their creative output because everyone deserves to be paid for their work.
Pause. Stop. Stop.
Thank you.